contributed.
Let me also say this to you as you go off, right? Two things. One, if we understood the story and the history of Pan, we could start changing the culture that we want to change in Barbados, including ZR and violence. It changed Trinidad, it can change us. And here's what's strange. If you research the story of Pan, there's somebody called Bajan Cecil who was part and parcel of the Trinidad development of Pan. He had the name Bajan Cecil, okay? Bajan Cecil. So that goes back to the origins, and they were wrong from the origin. Secondly, again, going back to the Pan events of this crop over season, I've always been assigned Pan events and I'm happy to do them. I spoke to one of the best sounding Pan sides at Pan Pondisand this year, which was the Darrell Jordan secondary. They stood out in my mind because they were excellent. They felt their music. They were happy on stage. They connected with their fans. They were phenomenal. Blew everybody else away, in my opinion. And their teacher, that's why I was coming to, sir. The man said to me, I don't play Pan. He said, I'm not a musician. But I went in there with a passion. And these fellas who are here, this guy there is a form leader. That guy there is doing better. That guy over there. These are people who, because of their involvement in the Pan, improve their scholastic side of their lives. We don't get it.
I can leave you with one thing, Dennis, on that particular issue and on that particular context. I just point you then. You talk about steel band development and development of the individual. I can point you in the direction of St. Leonard's Boys Choir.
That's correct.
Research that and just check and see the scholastic achievement of every single member of the choir. But you can want to sing, but you've got to get your
preaching. You got to get your rest right.
You know what's different with them? They got sponsorship.
Yeah. So, thank you very much for your contribution. I can feel the passion, and it rekindles my faith that one pebble at a time, one pebble at a time, one drop of water at a time, it will happen. Brass Stacks, good morning.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, my friend. Jeez, you coming after him, but pace from both ends. All right, I pad
so
up.
Much, so much
head ahead. Over the ball, and now you're hitting. You're at me today, boy.
Before I get into the meat of what I call about, I want to extend condolences to two people's families who, in true fact, some Barbadians don't seem to have understood their contribution to this country. One is Mrs. Gail Sterling Gale. When she had a business college, Duff College, who has been able to put a lot of young people into the secretary work. And the second person is Robert Bobby Pitcher, who probably is one of the early pioneers of advertising in Barbados. I remember Bobby operating out of his home in Chapman Street, and then I remember him operating out of Cheapside. And at that time, most of the advertising agencies that were in Barbados were advertising agencies from overseas. So I'm saying that the footwork for advertising agencies and advertising in Barbados, Bobby Pitcher must be recognized for it. Mm-hmm. And also in the area of training for secretarial studies and that type of thing, I think Sterling Gale must be at least commended for that. Now, I know you're going to agree with me. Well, let me move on. Now,
of course,
Mr. Johnson,
you ain't going to find me disagreeing with you on that one.
I'm glad that I have you this morning.
So everybody keeps saying, boy.
Yeah, I don't want to go to the C-band issue yet because it would be a little bit selfish on me if I should expose the C-band life in Barbados over the years. And I blame really some of the radio stations for not promoting Pan music throughout the year. And I think this is one of the essence of our distributing our music across as far back as Barbados All Stars.
When sir, Barbados can All I Stars, ask you a question?
Yes, sir.
You have a job for me?
Of course.
Okay, well, I will say what I'm going to say then, since you have a job for me.
Sir, I
wrote a proposal to a radio station, I won't say which one, to host a program called Stealing a Moment, STWELING, a moment, to highlight Pan music.
You know, when I
one of the problems, sir, goes back to what the gentleman was saying. People tell you get sponsorship and we'll do it. And if you don't have sponsorship, you can't do it. But that was my plan, because I have steel pan music going back through all kinds of records and all kind of things. Let me just say that. CDs and all of it now on hard drive. Steel pan music, from classical to calypso. All.
Let me go back to bring...
Thank you, Daddy.
That call has just punched me in the nose to remind me of some things that happened prior to pan ways in this country. I remember years ago I did something called Voices and Steel.
Mm-hmm.
And the very Minister of Tourism, very Minister of Culture now had the opportunity to sing with the Trinidad All-Stars Steel Band and a company where I acquired almost 100 voices. That was then. It was videotaped, it was put there, and you know that it was never exposed. I'm saying that when you consider Voices and Steel, a highlight of steel band music and some of the best voices in Barbados was presented at the gymnasium. I remember back in 2004, that there was something called Pan in the City, and almost every school in Barbados at that time presented a steel pan to play at some particular point of the city, Pan in the City. Being responsible. Ziggy was at his highest end. Ziggy was responsible for cementing the concept. And the schools in Barbados, that was the time, if you go back, Mr. Johnson, that we were importing pans from Trinidad, and that most of the pans were donated to various schools. What I think is the problem here now, and do not blame the public of Barbados for not going after pan. Do not blame Dennis Johnson for not getting a radio program on
Don't say where. I did not say where.
Right. It is the organizers, and I want the caller who just spoke to understand that it is the people who are responsible, and it is not a matter of not having sponsorship, because when you look at, it depends on what sponsorship you're asking for, and some of the companies cannot afford to provide the type of sponsorship that some people ask for, but this should not stop the presentation. Now, I'm going on to say this, Mrs. Johnson, that there is a good breath for steel pan players in Barbados. But then when you consider that even when they're practicing at community college, even when the bands are practicing at community college, there's a noise. People say that the noise are bugging them.
Yeah, that's it.
You have a situation, even though they are in training, that you still have complaints in relation to the development of the music. But that is the word I call you, because you and I will talk about that. You and I will talk about that for the bands in the evening. So far, so good. Soccer Royale. And I want the organizers to listen to this. Because if myself and an alerted attorney could have done it for an event we had, that Soccer Royale need to understand. It isn't just packing people on the grounds. It isn't just packing people in the place. Almost every woman that went to Soccer Royale the other afternoon at some point might want to use the restroom or take it back home with her. Almost every man. Here at Soccer Royale, I am saying, Mr. Johnson, it was disgraceful to see that they only had 8 chemical toilets on one side of the place. 8 chemical toilets. And these chemical toilets were facing each other. The male toilets and the ladies' toilets were facing each other. And there was a rush that even the police had to come and stand in that area. I'm saying you cannot bring 20,000 people to an event like that and put down 8 toilets. I had an event myself at some point, and we had 19 chemical toilets. And not only had the 19 chemical toilets, they were serviced throughout the night. In case anything happened, they were serviced. Here it is, you had chemical toilets at Bushy Park. We're down in the dark, And somewhere along the line, they were not positioned. I do not think this is fair to the ladies and the gentlemen who went to, and eventually they had to do it all around Bushy Park. They had to do it all outside of Bushy Park. And if they're going to plant as simple as chemical toilets, you're expecting 20,000 to 30,000 people, you should be able to provide the facilities for those people. And I'm saying I was ashamed to see how some women had to go behind a bush and put themselves in awkward positions, being protected by other people. And nobody will see what to do. NCF, you need to put up the copper flag for it. It was not good. It cannot continue. And I'm wondering if you realize that you're attracting thousands of people to an event, you need to provide the facilities. Some women don't go into those chemical toilets, they take it back home. Some men, I heard a man say the other night, you know, Mr. Dora, it's a good thing I'm a man. I'm blessed to be a man.
Sir, I tell you, you have to, I think, sometimes train yourself to, as you say, ride it out, sit it out, because I really... I'm appalled at how we treat the public at events. I am also cognizant of the fact that sometimes the public themselves ill-treat themselves at these events through overindulgence, through sloppiness, drunkenness, etc. I remember going to an event at Banks that I was asked to be a part of the judging panel. And there were people who said they prefer to go to the bush than to go to the chemical toilets that were provided because of the condition they were in. But you are correct. It is all about servicing it. It's about providing for your clientele. And then you have to encourage the people who use it to be responsible in their use. Thanks for your comments. This is Dr. Brass Tacks. Brass Tacks, good morning. Hello. 434-1790. You can also reach us at brasstacks@starcomnetwork.net, or you can send a WhatsApp message to 266-IVOB. It's been very active this morning. Going to try to get around to as many of them as I can as I get the breaks. But remember, keep listening to your phone. We are 20 seconds behind the radio. Good morning.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi.
Good morning.
Good morning to you, ma'am.
Yes.
Welcome back to the airwaves.
Thank you.
The phone has been repaired.
No. I hear good.
Okay, fair enough.
I have three topics to talk about.
Mm-hmm.
First, you had a caller talking about the music on the vans.
Right?
Mm-hmm. But I want to tell him there are a lot of imitations out there that copying that person.
Well, I kind of told him so. I hope he heard.
Yeah, I know. I heard you say that. Right, a lot of imitation. My other topic, no, I wear vests because that show that they had on Sunday, I think Adrian Clark get unfair. He should be second. What part Mikey is, he should be second. Now, I have to stay on that.
Mm-hmm.
My third one, no, it's about the water bill tomorrow. I want a new fee on the water bill tomorrow. I want to know if the law passed for this bill tomorrow. And I want to know if the Senate passed the bill.
I have not heard whether it was passed in the Senate or not. And then it has to be assented to by the Governor General.
Oh, well, if the bill is prepared for tomorrow, that means that we are not paying no bill because that's illegal.
Ma'am, so I would not advise you to do that.
Oh, but no, but how should we pay a bill?
Ma'am, I would not advise you to do that.
All right. Let me say
the reason why I would not advise you to do that is because bills can be made retroactive. Sorry, legislation can be passed with retroactive effect. And according to the, I'm trying to find the information I was given on it because I did check whether or not it was. And I was told that when the Minister of Finance makes an order, it is then brought into effect by the legislation thereafter, but it becomes law from the time it is said. That's why ministers of finance in the past could get up and say, as of midnight tonight, the price of gasoline goes X or Y, and then the enabling legislation comes afterwards. I would suggest you don't do anything presuming things to be illegal unless you know for sure. That's my advice. And my advice is just given as a layman, not as a lawyer.
I can leave it as that. I want to hear more about it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. The prices in the grocery stores going up, Mr. Johnson.
Yeah.
And we're not getting no more no pay increases. All the prices going up. The government wants the public service get that increase 5%. You know that 10% that they say then paying to charity, that 5% going back on. That once the public server get increased, them getting increased too. So them ain't got no problem with no money. But we out here, we want salary increases too. The taste in the supermarket skyrocketing, Mr. Johnson.
I go to
this. And we ain't getting a tax refund. We ain't getting no tax refund for 2015.
And you just realized this?
No, I realize everything.
So how come you weren't making noise about it before?
I was off the program. No,
oh, your phone fell down and broke on election night.
No.
In the euphoria of the win, you threw the phone in the air and it fell down and break. I could understand that.
The elections can't run me, Mr. Johnson.
It didn't run you. It just made you a little silent. It sent you to WhatsApp. Don't forget, when I moderate the program, I have the WhatsApp in front of me, right? And yes. I'm moderating today, so I'm looking at it.
Yeah, I know. But no, I can't wait to WhatsApp.
But you have here on the WhatsApp that your phone break.
But if it's
I just see
here.
Or oh, your phone not working.
If it's sign up on me, I come out and say it.
Somebody said they got their water bill and nothing on it has changed yet. So apparently they got to wait till the end of August or
tomorrow is the 1st of August.
And you do not get your water bill for the 1st of August, do you?
We will wait and see that. The non-contributors do.
Ma'am, when do you get your water bill?
I will have to look back on my water
bill. Well, look back on your water bill. Look back on your water bill. Because I know when I get my water bill, I don't get it on the first of the month. It is good to hear you, though. Everybody will always have their favorites when it comes to Calypso. I've learned from doing... Whenever I do the programs, I tend to turn off my ears and concentrate on what the judge is going to be looking for. I made a comment to a friend of mine that they need to remember that the people who perform at Bushy Park performing for the judges, not for the audience. The judges. They're the ones who giving them the car, not the audience. The audience ain't giving them nothing. They're just jumping and screaming. Oh, and 5 points for crowd response. Brass Tacks, good morning. 4341790. Good morning.
Mr. Johnson?
Yes, it
is. A blessed day to you, sir.
And to you too.
Thank you kindly, and I trust that the day remains that way for you and your family and the staff as well.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome. Mr. Johnson, I would like to encourage as many Barbadians as possible to listen to the debates in the Senate. I like to listen to the debates in the Senate because you get a clear understanding of what is happening in our country and as far as the bills are concerned, in that you have 7 independent senators and 2 opposition, and they don't always see eye to eye. They don't always oppose each other either.
See how important the Senate has become all of a sudden? We were saying it was unnecessary. It was a bunch of old people that get put there. We should get rid of it. It's too expensive. Now it is important.
No, but I'm saying
the structures. Mm-hmm. I know what you're saying, sir. No, I heard you clearly.
I'm saying that if we have only a one-sided system, I mean, what good would that be to us? Because then they become a dictatorship and all kinds of things. And then it would take away what God has given us, which is the right for every human being. So we really can't. We need to have a balance. And some will agree, some will disagree, but we can agree to disagree and still remain mutual. And, you know, because everybody has their own understanding of what they may see that is right or that is wrong. Now, the meat of what I'm going to say is I did tune in late because sometimes I'm not sure when the debates are going to be because, you know, they come at different times. But I heard, I want to speak mainly of two that I spoke, I heard, which was Mr. Franklin first, he spoke. And one thing about Mr. Franklin is he does not hold, as far as I am concerned, no bones for anybody because he is a trade unionist. And he speaks on behalf of the people, really. Now, he said yesterday that he checked. He said there is a business place in this town, in Bridgetown, that owes about $25 million in VAT.
He said so for quite a while, yes.
Good. He also said that when he went to the VAT, he got a list. And when he began to add up those businesses or the VAT that was owed, when he got to $1 billion, he said he got tired counting, he had to stop. Now, he also said that it would have been better for the government to have left the NSRL where it was and reduced the VAT by at least 10%, because his point was it would be less money for those who are withholding it to hold on to. But with the NSRL, they have got to pay out front. He also said, now that made sense to me, because then we need to find a way and a system to stop persons from robbing our country and holding on to what don't belong to them. We need to find a way to do it. It doesn't matter who, which government is in place, because it's our country that we're looking at. He also went on to say that you can imagine that you give 5%. He said there are those at the bottom, that 5%, they're going to only get $96 and change, or $92 and change. And at the top of that same at the scale is going to be $600 and somebody. He said, but here you have now, you are legislating a tax that is going to take $45 out of those persons who are at the bottom. $45. And therefore, he is saying that it would have been better to do it what I mentioned first.
So how much tax would the person at the top be paying on the $616 increase?
No, but he didn't mention it.
I wonder why. He's a trade unionist. He should have worked that out too. So no, you see, what that's why I have about selective use of, and like Mr. Franklin, I don't hold any candles for anybody either. But I have a problem with using numbers selectively. I've always had a problem with it. And I've always said to people, I could use the same figure for whatever purpose I want to use it. I could stand as the Minister of Finance and say to the country, deposits by time at commercial banks in Barbados grew by $4 million or $4 billion in the last 5 years of my stewardship as a Minister of Finance. $5 billion. So, Bajan's making money. As the leader of the opposition, I could stand and say, Mr. Speaker, sir, Barbadians put $4 billion in deposits in the bank over the last 10 years of his administration because he lay off people, had to pay them out when he fired them badly, and they have to save for a rainy day because all he's doing is bringing rain on us. The same $4 billion, I just explained it to you in two completely different ways. I have a problem with people who selectively use figures for a purpose. Yes, the people at the top will get more than the people at the bottom with a 5% across the board. But I also know that with a 5% across the board, certain people will be taken into a higher tax bracket because of where they are with the same 5%. And because of that, they may take home less than they were taking home before. It happened when I worked at the Royal Bank of Canada at the top of Broad Street. And when I said it was going to happen, people at the meeting laughed at me and tell me, oh, you come from Trinidad with your big money, you don't want me 5%. Until they got their paychecks. And then they came and asked me, how you worked out so fast? I said, because I know what my tax bracket was. You didn't. Sir, I understand what Mr. Franklin has said. And I agree with him up to a point. The point I agree is this. Taxes should be collected by the government. When you ask other people to become your tax collecting agency and then get it from them, you run into how they pay you. And one of the problems that we have is the enforcement of legislation of all kinds, including taxes. And people make presentations, representations, and other types of presentations to show why they can't do what they should do. So we have had in this country for too long people who have operated businesses, gone out of business, left the country. And then we print their paper, their name in the newspaper and say, this person owe NIS X, Y, and Z. This person owe taxes X, Y, and Z. It cannot be collected. But the people who were employed by them, who expected things to be paid on their behalf, found themselves in a position where they were in trouble. because they didn't have the things paid on their behalf. And they didn't get it fixed. And the people gone away, and we print their name supposedly to shame them, and the company don't exist. So if their company is in Barbados, they want $25 million in VAT, find a way to get it from them. One way or another. Bring them in, tell them make part payments over the next 5 years, bring their current up to date, and get it done. I agree. The NSRL was paid up front, and then collected, and then the people who brought in the goods had to hope that you buy the goods from them to give them back the money. So they protested, and it was adjusted. So fix the VAT issue. Get it from the people who owe. Fix the NIS issue. Get it from the people who owe. And don't let them come and cry crocodile tears about, well, you know, we hold strain and we keep the people employed. Fix it. Enforce it across the board. And I can stamp anywhere with Mr. Franklin and say so. I thank you for your contribution. We have the regional roundup coming up. More of your calls in the Tuesday edition. Stay with us.